Our speaker for this chapel of our expository preaching week is Scott Duff. Scott comes to ABC from Bible Center Church in Charleston, West Virginia. He was saved at the age of 17, although he knew the gospel before then. And it was about that same time that he devoted his life to serve the Lord wherever the Lord might lead him.
So, I have a question for you guys this morning. Have you ever heard stories of the persecuted church? Heard of their thankfulness amidst what seems to be like the hardest of all situations? If you remember, Dave Holloway, when sharing his message, showed us a video of, her name is Helen Berain. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. And she was actually put in a shipping container for 2 years. And she thanked God in the video, or not her, but it was mentioned, she thanked God for the beatings, for the heat, for everything that she went through. And a lot of times seeing those things, I tend to wonder, is that even like, how could I get like that? And the amazing thing is, it's possible for all of us to be that thankful, no matter what. And God wants us to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which says this, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Thankfulness will be the time our focus today. And our theme this year is servants who give thanks. And throughout this year, we've heard many messages about being thankful. And the amazing thing is, for just any normal person, it would be impossible to be thankful no matter what. But we're servants of God, and we have God filling us, and we can be thankful no matter what. So it is possible. And I have another question for you. Have you ever had a bad day? Yeah, I'm pretty sure everybody could raise their hand for that one. I want us to look at somebody who was having a very bad day, and he was thankful amidst it. And I'm speaking of Psalm 34. So if you could turn there. If you'll notice in the inscription of the psalm, a lot of times we tend to forget that that actually is part of the inspired text written. It's just as important as the rest of the verses. So it would be important for us to look at this and to understand what's going on in the background of this psalm. The psalm reads, the inscription reads this, "A psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed." So Brandon already went over a little bit of the background, but I still want us to go through it so we can get our minds in the same mindset the author was in. And what was going on here is, if you notice the word Abimelech, that's actually the same name as for King Achish in Saul in 1 Samuel 1:21. And yeah, so the reason that it's different is because of the name Abimelech is actually more of a dynasty name, kind of like Cleopatra and things like that. So going through this, here's in summary, here's what happened. David is running from Saul, and then he goes to get a weapon, and he meets a priest there who gives him a weapon, and he gives him Goliath's sword. So things start to look up for David. He was running from Saul, now he's got a sword. So things are looking pretty good. So then, to run where Saul wouldn't look for him, he goes to the town of Gath. There's one problem with the town of Gath. It's the hometown of Goliath. And he is carrying Goliath's sword. So not only is he recognizable as the one who slayed Goliath, he is, adding insult to injury, carrying the sword of Goliath. So David does not have a warm welcome party when he comes to Gath. And he gets captured, and he gets brought before King Achish, and he does the most obvious thing that we would all do. He pretends to act crazy before Achish. Try to do that next time you get in trouble. And, amazingly, it works. And Achish lets him go because he's crazy. So, David has had an interesting day. And then he pens Psalm 34. The title of my sermon is Thankfulness That Defies the Odds. Thankfulness that defies the odds. After looking at the thankfulness of David in Psalm 34, we will learn how we should react to thankfulness and the reason why we should be thankful. Beginning first with verses 1 to 14, we'll see your reaction. And as we look at this portion, we'll see through David's experience, we see three different separate sections that David goes through. First, in verses 1st to the 3rd one, we see his praise to God. And then we see his seeking for God in verses 4 and 6. And then in 7 to 14, we see fear of God. First, beginning with his praise to God in verses 1 to 3, notice the time, the emotion, and the response of others to this praise. Beginning with the time, we read verse 1. Read verse 1 with me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, reading this verse, it would seem to be that true thankfulness is not in our circumstances, but is in the unchanging attributes of God. Circumstances change. God doesn't. And that's what we need to be thankful in, and not our circumstances. And notice that David says, at all times. Not sometimes, not every other time, but he says at all times. We should always have a reason to thank God for who he is. You'll notice the word bless here in Hebrew is a future tense. And I find that very interesting because it's David looking to the future and saying, I will bless God. We need to have that same mindset that in the future, we will praise God. And it would not seem that it's being too bold or prideful. It's something we need to do. And I have another question, is how many sermons this year have you heard in thankfulness and thought to yourself, I need to be more thankful. But then life happens and you're not thankful. We don't need another sermon, definitely not mine. We need to be thankful now. Don't wait any longer. Be thankful no matter what. Focus your eyes on God and be thankful. So from David's praise, from the times we need to praise, we see the emotion in verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. This boast in the Lord is in the soul. It's deep inside of us. We boast that we know him. If we truly understood God, we would boast in him all the time. And we boast in God not only for ourselves, but for others also. It sounds like that would be prideful, but apparently people need this. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. People need to hear people bragging about God. They need that. We all do. We forget we're human. We need that. So from the times, the emotion of praise, we come to see that that brings others to be responsive in verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. The Israelites would use this psalm as part of their hymn books. So they would sing this psalm. So we get to do the same when we sing. We get to sing praises to God. And the word exalt here is to lift up or to promote. Our school, our churches, our friend groups, everything we do desperately needs to hear the lifting up of God's name. I know God is tired of dead churches. We need God's name lifted up, for there's no other power that we'll find. And here's something that helped me. Here's something that really helped me that I ask myself this. I try to make sure I do it every single time before I pray, before I sing. Do we understand that the same time that we're singing, that we're in chapel, that we're in church, and we're praying to God. At the same time, God is in heaven, and there are four creatures whose only purpose is to scream out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God." That's their only purpose. And that helps me to come to realize who I'm talking to. I have a question of application from these three verses. What does your praise say about the one to whom you are giving praise, the times that you praise, and the emotion in your praise? What does your praise say about the one to whom you're praising, and the times that you give praise, and the emotion behind your praise? So, in David's experience of thankfulness that defies the odds, we see him move from praising to seeking God in verses 4 to 6. Seeking God is not just a one-time thing. It's not a one-time fix. It's a continual praying, a continual seeking after God that will not quit, and David doesn't. And David knows God heard him, and we see this in verse 4, his testimony. "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." David is not simply saying intellectually that God heard him when seeking him, but he is saying that he knew this truth as real in his own experience. We too can have this assurance. Sometimes we pray and we feel like we're talking to a wall. We need to keep going until we're sure God heard us. We need to grab the ears of God and just talk to him, pray. We should never leave a prayer session feeling like we didn't talk to anybody. We talked to somebody. We talked to God. And the amazing thing is he heard us. David's testimony of seeking God caused other men with him to seek God also, and we see that in verse 5. "They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed." Truly seeking God changes our mood. Have they ever seen those people that you could just tell it in their faces that something's different about them? You can just look at them and go, they've been with God. They got this from seeking God. And we should do the same thing too. If you wonder why your mood is the way it is, seek after God until it changes. David goes from the testimony of the others and the mood of those around him. Now he focuses on his own deliverance in verse 6. "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." This poor man crying is David. Throughout his journey, he'd been through a lot of rough moments with Saul, running, never sure if he was safe or not. He got to the point of crying before God. He said, "This poor man cried." And at this low point, God heard him. And that's amazing. So, an application I have from this: seek after God till you are sure you have his attention. Till it shows on your face, even if it brings you to the point of tears. Seek after God till you are sure you have his attention. Till it shows on your face, even if it brings you to the point of tears. Pure praise and seeking after God comes from a true understanding of the fear of God. We see that in verses 7 to 14. Fear of God is not like a fear of spiders or snakes, or the worst of these three, talking to the opposite gender. But instead, it's the feeling that you get when you look at the Grand Canyon and are in awe of the vastness, the largeness, how you don't compare to it. Do we understand the reality of the God to whom we're looking to? He is someone who, when we learn who he fully is and understand him in all his glory, we will automatically be in awe and fear of him. Let us now look at, from fearing God, we get God's protection. Verse 7. "The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them." The Hebrew word for encampeth here is the same word used for battling in the Old Testament. So if you remember, the angel of the Lord is a picture of Christ. And what's amazing is, in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord slayed over 100,000 soldiers. That's the same angel of the Lord that protects us and camps around us when we are in awe of Him. How much strength does that give us to know that we have that God around us? We have nothing to fear because we have that God on our side. Nothing. David, in talking of his protection, now moves to the sweetness of that protection in verses 8 to 10. Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole psalm. But the question is, how do you taste God? And here's a big shocker. The word taste in Hebrew stands when taste when you're tasting food. So how do you taste God? This is the point when we understand this, is that it will completely change our walk with God. It will move us. From understanding this, it will truly bring us closer to God. It would seem that the fear of God doesn't actually move us away from God, but actually towards God. And I have a question with that. Have you ever tasted something and just cannot get enough? It's just food that you just craved. I crave food too, even though I don't look like it. But it's just you wanted a small taste of it. And that's the idea with God. It's once you taste Him, you automatically, you're like, yes, I want that now. It shows us that God is not merely a word or a concept for men and women centuries ago, but a being by whom we are to seek and experience after now. David knows that God is good. Not just a phrase he said, but he deeply knows. And so should we. Let us all get to know God so that in ministry we can say with David, God is good and He tastes good. Then verses 9 to 10. O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there's no want to them that fear Him. Young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. This verse is obviously not talking about material possessions and material things. And Brandon explained that perfectly Monday, how it's not about that. But a question I have with this is, how are we more satisfied with a lion? We go through the same things lions do. We eat, we sleep, we don't eat other, well, we do eat other animals. And this is the amazing thing, is we get to talk to God. We get communion with God. Lions don't. Lions don't get to talk to God. We do. So a lion could eat me, but I get to talk with God. Take that, lion. It's amazing. We get to have communion with God. Fearing God to have His promised protection, we move to the fear of God in our daily life, and that's verses 11 to 14. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So we see that our fear of God should affect our daily life and should come into our lives. In verses 11 and 12, we see David is now trying to get the reader's attention. He's saying, come to me. Let me tell you something. Let me show you the fear of the Lord. And he's asking a question nobody would say no to. Who doesn't want an abundant life? He is pointing to having a true abundant life, and that's through two ways that he gives, that we could show our fear of God in our daily lives. And he says, "Depart, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." And I know as believers, it can be sometimes hard to control our mouths and what we say, but this verse shows us that from controlling our mouths, there is a joy that can come from it. There's beautiful benefits from it. So, and it seems that it's not just the departing that we need to do. Sometimes in our minds, we'll just hear the words departing and we'll depart, but we'll just go back to what we just did. The problem is we're departing, but we're not seeking something. We need to replace those desires. And that's what this verse tells us, that you depart from these evil things, but you seek the good things. So a question I have with this, Does your awe of God cause you to move towards Him? And does it affect your daily living? Does your awe of God move you towards Him? And does it affect your daily living? In David's thankfulness that defies the odds, we move from his reaction to our reason to be thankful. Verses 15 to 22. The reason we are thankful is because of God's awareness and God's response to his creation. And we see this beginning with his awareness in verses 15 to 16. First with the righteous in verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Picture this, that when you pray, God focuses his attention on you. Sure, at the same time, God is keeping the world spinning. He's making sure every single animal and person on the planet is fed. And not only in our solar system, keeping all the planets going, but also in the other galaxies that we can't even see keeping that going. But when you pray and when I pray, God focuses his attention on us. That's amazing. And not just me, not just people in the Bible, but you, all of us. That's amazing. And of the wicked, verse 16. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. In a world where violence and sin is done publicly, not only done publicly, but applauded, we have a God who is fully aware of it. We do not have a God who is asleep. People can threaten us. They can do the opposite things that God wants, but God's face is against them. And praise God because of Jesus. Because as for us, we don't have to fear that face of God coming, looking at us. This is why the wicked need to hear the gospel. The wicked don't understand the reality of who is looking at them and will eventually respond to their wickedness. But we do have a clue. But not only does God watch, but he responds. In verses 17 to 20, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. In verse 17, again, we see that God responds to the cry of his people. And then in verse 18, we see another amazing thing, that when we're brokenhearted, God is near us. Men and women, this morning, if you are brokenhearted, if you're down, God is near you. It doesn't feel like it. That's why this verse is here. God is near you. It's an amazing comfort. Seeing the verse 19 and the honesty of it astounds me. We go through many things, and it tells us that many are the afflictions of the righteous. But we have a God who will get us through. From hurtful words to death, from colds to diseases, we have a God who will get us through all of it. And I mean all of it. There is nothing on this planet that God cannot get us through. In verse 20, David points out that God did not let any of these men break his bones. And what's amazing is that in the uncertainty of being before Achish, that none of his bones were broken, that God protected him. God protected him so that he could show us that no matter what situation we are, God is in control. Those men in Gath could not have touched David unless God gave them permission to. And I'm sure they wanted to. So, for us, even in the uncertainty of life, no matter how uncertain situations are, God is in control. From focusing on God's response for the righteous, we see his response towards the wicked in verse 21. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. God is not just aware of the wicked, and not just sitting in heaven, not doing anything. God will respond. And the word condemned here means judge. the wicked shall be judged. And though the wicked are condemned, verse 22, we see the end of the righteous. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. None of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Same idea here with the condemned. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be condemned. And it's amazing that God is telling us, even to the point of our soul, we won't be condemned because we trust in him. So, though the wicked stand in complete judgment of God, we, the righteous, stand in complete non-judgment. It's amazing and a beautiful end to this psalm. And my title was Thankfulness That Defies the Odds. Back to the question I asked in the beginning. Is this thankfulness, like the persecuted church has, possible for us? And obviously it is. We saw our reaction of thankfulness that came from praising. And I asked this question. What does your praise say about the one you're praising? The emotion and the times that you praise. Then in seeking, I exhorted you, seek after God till you are sure that he heard you. Till it shows on your face, even if it brings you to the point of tears. In the fear of God, I asked, does your awe of God move you towards him? And does it affect your daily living? Concluding, we came to the reason of our thankfulness for God's awareness and his response. From keeping these in our minds and truly meditating on these beautiful truths, we can truly have thankfulness that defies the odds.